Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Always a pleasure to see people come together learning Torah, especially on Shnat HaShmitah, which is basically a year of unity and spirituality, just like we have Shabbat, where we delve into our spiritual aspects and try to take a step back from the material world. Us as a nation, as a land, as a people, in Eretz HaKodesh, Shemitah has the same idea. I'm going to jump right in because we have a lot to cover, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions. So first of all, before I begin, the guides in front of you have some type of guidance with Shemitah, and I'm available, Blineder, as long as my wife lets me answer the phone. So we'll let that keep going. This year we'll focus on Perot Shemitah, Holy Shemitah fruit. There are certain aspects that you might be aware of, some you might not be aware of. I'm going to bleed it or try my best to focus on as much practical aspects as possible. And of course, we'll leave room for questions. So it's like this. We have a number of mitzvot on Shemitah. We have Shemitah that associates with the land, regarding how we work it, what we do. We have Shemitat Ksafim, which is the annulment of all loans. And probably the most practical aspect for the private consumer and every Ba'alat HaBayit in Israel is the purchase and handling of Shemitah fruit. We have different ways of purchasing Shemitah fruit, different ways of eating Shemitah fruit, and different ways of buying fruit and vegetables in general around Shemitah. I'm not going to discuss the aspects of Heter Mechira, Kedushat Shvit, and Yevul Nochri. I will focus only on handling Shemitah fruit. If you want to hear about Heter Mechira and the rest of the other stuff, that's you can call me or we can have one other shir because you could be here for hours and hours and hours. So it's like this. The Pasuk says in Vayikra Kafei, Ve'achlu evyonei amecha, meaning that the fruit of the land is for everybody. It belongs to evyonim, the rich, the poor, it belongs to everybody. In Shmot, the Pasuk says, Vashvi'it tishmetena unetashta. And also says, Ve'achlu evyonei amecha. Meaning there, the shvit, the fruit is basically for everybody. So the Torah repeats itself, that fruit belongs to everyone. And also the end of the Pesukei Shvita, the Pasuk says, Vaitash Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Lochla, and the Shabbos of the land will be for everybody to eat. So the word eating comes and repeats itself again and again and again. And the question is there a mitzvah to eat Shemitah fruit? Meaning, we'll talk about what Shemitah fruit is in a second, is there a mitzvah? Is there a positive commandment to eat Shemitah fruit? Just like I have matzah on Erev Pesach, and just like it's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, and just like it's a mitzvah midirabanan to drink 4 cups of wine on Leila Seder, and a mitzvah to eat maybe truma, is there a mitzvah to have Shemitah fruit? So the Rambam does not mention anywhere in his book of Halacha, in his book of mitzvot, or in his Ashkafik Sfarim, the mitzvah to eat Shemitah fruit. It doesn't exist. The Ramban seems to say there is a mitzvah, and there's dispute in the Ramban itself. It would seem to be, and this is what's very important to mention quickly, is that there are numerous biblical halachas associated with Shemitah fruit. And that's where it kind of gets interesting, just conceptually. Meaning the pasuk says, lachem v'le'ochla, and Chazal, I counted, have between 15 and 17 unique halachot that are biblical. Meaning, I'll give a quick example. There's a biblical prohibition to actively ruin Shemitah fruit. I mean, you can't actively ruin Shemitah fruit. You can't treat it inappropriately. We'll see in a moment. You would assume that just as there's a negative aspect of treating the fruit, what would be the respectful aspect of treating the Shemitah fruit? Eating, right? That would be, it's a complete equation. However, it's not so simple. It seems that there might not be a mitzvah to eat Shemitah fruit, but there's all these mitzvah we're going to learn in a moment. So the answer is like this. Shemitah, the produce of Shemitah in general, is to teach us at the end of the day who's Baal HaBayit. Chazal say, Zar'u Shesh, plant 6, Vishamtu Sheva, and the 9th you don't work. Kedei Ladat, She'aret Shelihi, the land is mine, it belongs to me. We might not have a mitzvah to eat Shemitah fruit, because eating is something regular. We have to treat them with respect. We have to handle them appropriately. One of those aspects of handling them properly is eating them, but that's not the main mitzvah. And we're going to see in a moment the whole halachic bringing down of Shemitah fruit in general. Why am I bringing this up? There is, unfortunately, a notion in modern Israeli society under certain social norms to be scared of Shemitah fruit. To be scared. It's like I don't want to, it's like going to Beit HaMikdash. I don't want to touch it. My kids, right? So at the end, if you're given an opportunity to eat Shemitah fruit, and I'm going to give an example. You're going to somebody's house, and they put in front of you delicious dried Shemitah fruit, dates and figs and fruit, and it's lovely, and they give you fruit that's of another type. You see, you know what? I don't eat Shemitah food. There's a possibility that by your disrespect about eating them, you're not respecting Shemitah food. Meaning, we shouldn't be scared of it unless we're disrespecting it. Again, there are questions of how much should be done and who should use it. But there's it can be done. You can keep Shemitah fruit. There's a way of doing it. And in certain instances, you might have to respect it when given the opportunity. I'm not sure that means you have to go out and buy Shemitah fruit when you go to any supermarket. But it's important thing to notice that when we decide not to consume Shemitah fruit in the appropriate fashion, in the end of the day, we're hurting the status and we're not really internalizing the message of Shemitah. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to talk about the drashot of Chazal, what main areas of halacha Shemitah fruit relate to, and then we're going to talk about where we find Shemitah fruit. Okay, so the pasuk, I said, le'ochla, to eat, and lachem, for you, have numerous halachas drashas. I'm going to give you, just so you get a general perspective. The Torah Konim says, lachem velo la'achirim. Shemitah fruit is given to Jews and not to non-Jews. We'll see that later, that in certain instances it's inappropriate and halachically not okay to give Shemitah fruit to non-Jews. Lachem, l'shtiya, l'achila, l'sicha, l'tzviya, that you can eat it and use it for any appropriate purpose. That's number two. Number three, lachem, kederach achilatam, achila lachem, you have to eat it in a normal fashion. That's number three. Lo'ochla, v'lo'lef, said you cannot ruin or dispose in an inappropriate fashion of Shemitah fruit. Le'ochla, v'lo'lem lugma, you can't use it for medical purposes. Le'ochla v'lo l'schora, you cannot handle and financially do business with Shemitah fruit. And asher ba'artzecha, you can't send it to chutzah. So there are other halachah, those are the main ones, right? It's for Jews and not for non-Jews. It's to be eaten appropriately, used appropriately. It should be not ruined. It should be not dealt with financially. And it should be not taken to chutzah. Where do we meet Shemitah fruit in our day-to-day lives? There are three opportunities, and these are only three opportunities we can have Shemitah fruit. One is an Otsar Beit Din, which is basically a system which was initiated by Chazal in the Tosefta and Talmudic times in order to distribute holy Shemitah fruit. That you'll find in certain stores, you'll find in certain organizations, you'll find people who deliver Shemitah fruit. That's number one. Number two is our gardens. Our gardens where we have spices and we have vegetables maybe and fruit trees and we keep Shemitah because we want to keep Shemitah. There's our other opportunity to meet Shemitah fruit. Our third is a little more unique. There are opinions that when I purchase Heter Mechira, regardless of, the OU doesn't hold by Heter Mechira, but you do purchase Heter Mechira, you receive Heter Mechira, do you have to treat the fruit and vegetables like holy Shemitah fruit? There's a dispute between the Mabit, Rav Yosef de Trani, and the Beit Yosef over 470 years ago, and it's pretty much accepted, at least by most poskim here, I think the OU as well also holds like this, that you don't have to treat Heter Mechira with Dushat Shvit. There's some people who are a little more machmir, but in general, there's no need to treat them with Heter Mechira. What to be careful when using this fruit? Before we take the fruit down from the Jew, before we purchase it, what should we be careful about? Okay, so if the Otsar Beit Din is not done appropriately, or we have somebody who wants to give me the fruit from their garden, that is Dushat Shvit, if they did not appropriately collect the fruit, meaning if they collected too much, or they want to sell it to you, or they want to sell it to you after selling it to somebody else, that's called Shavur v'Ne'evad. Those Kedushat Shvit fruit were not given to you in an appropriate manner, so you should be very careful how you receive them. For example, if somebody's doing a sale and selling fruit from their garden that has Kedushat Shvit, you shouldn't participate in that purchase, because that's not halachically okay. You can't do financial dealings with Kedushat Shvit. The other issue, this is also very important, we have Trumot u'Masrot, which normally we don't deal with on a day-to-day basis, meaning taking out the tithes of Truma and Maser and Maser Sheni. So Shemitah fruit does not require Trumot u'Masrot. They're completely exempt. That means if you go in your garden and you pick fruit or vegetables or spices that are Kedushat Shvit, you don't have to do Truma and Maser and Maser Sheni. They don't exist. That's something important to mention. Now, since we talked about Kedushat Shvit, Lachem Lochay, you have to respect the fruit, the question is, how can we eat Shemitah fruit and who can be given to? So it's basically like this. In the times of Chazal, the gzeira was, the decree was that you should only eat a fruit in its normal fashion. That means whatever is eaten raw is eaten raw. Whatever is eaten cooked is eaten cooked. I'll get to you in a second. And that was general perspective. So Chazal talked about doing all kinds of uses that weren't appropriate. People didn't mash food all the time. People didn't cook certain vegetables. In today's day and age, it definitely changed. That means that if a fruit has a normal form of use, right? If I use sweet potato to cook, but also to make a soup, That's considered a use. If I make a shake, right, and I normally mash and blend certain fruits and vegetables, that might be okay. So that's kind of changed. It should be noted that, and this is really hard to do because at first I'm not such a big expert on culinary skills in the modern day world. If there's something very, very odd, a certain dish you make where the fruit is either mashed or destroyed in a very odd fashion, that might be a lot problematic, and it should be done on a case-by-case basis. But in general, something that's used, something that is cooked or mashed or used raw, whatever might be done, can be done with Shemitah food, especially in modern culinary, in their modern kitchens, because everybody does a million different things. You use apple juice and you mush things and so on and so forth, so that might be able to be used in the ways needed. You had a question. You're saying if they treat their fruit inappropriately. Right, so it's like, So the question is, if I have a neighbor who wants to give me their Shemitah fruit, but they did certain works of the, certain labor in the lab wasn't appropriate, so according to certain poskim, it's inappropriate to purchase that Shemitah fruit. And so that's what certain poskim say, to answer your question. So in general, that's regarding the style of what you can eat. There are still certain exemptions. For example, yes. It's like 6 year fruit. Right. No, you have to do it in Meiser. Right. I'll get back to that at the end about what we have in the market at the moment. There are still certain situations where we might be careful how we use Shemitah fruit. I'll give an example. A child wants to take a medicine, and you have Kedushat Shvit grape juice. And you want to be able to use the grape juice to have your son or granddaughter or brother, whatever it be, drink the medicine. So that's not allowed. Because what I'm doing is I'm using the grape juice in an inappropriate fashion, and I'm causing the juice to be worse. Nobody's going to drink. If I offer you the juice now with the penicillin or medicine, nobody's going to drink it. So that's a way that we cannot eat it in a different fashion. That's something that's very, very common. Regarding who can eat Shemitah fruit. So I'm going back to what I started with in the beginning regarding... Yeah, sure. Isur Svechin. So Isur Svechin is... that's why you should buy Kedushat Shvit only with a good Ashkacha. So it depends. If the nana is annual, meaning you plant it every single year, then it has Gezirat Svechin. But nana sometimes is, you leave it growing. It's perennial. You just chip it. So if it's normally nana is perennial, I mean it goes over a couple years. So you could probably trim. Now you could probably trim it and use it. And in general, anything that came into Shemitah when it had even a small bud, whether it be nana or spices or vegetables, don't have the Isur Svichin. So that's your normal joke. What happens is the newer growth. I like to focus on who can have Shemitah fruit. So regarding non-Jews, it's a very, very sensitive issue, but I want to try to get it out very quickly. If you have or come in contact with non-Jews, it is halakhically prohibited to give them Shemitah fruit. Give them Shemitah fruit. However, if they're a guest in your house, or they're over for some kind of visit, there's no problem giving them Shemitah fruit. The difference is this. The holy Shemitah fruit has a certain status, so it shouldn't be, sold or given over to non-Jews in a normal fashion. But if they're at your house, the Ritba says that it's a guest and it's really your food and you have a kind of responsibility for him. So that's the sensitivity. So I'm saying going out and giving a basket of fruit as a gift to your non-Jewish shiputznik is not okay. But if he comes over to your house and he wants to have some delicious lemon juice you made out of your Shemitah food, that's okay. So it's very, very clear. Regarding giving to kids, which is also very, very sensitive, kids who eat appropriately can for sure eat Shemitah fruit and Shemitah vegetables and whatever juices, whatever you have. The issue comes with little kids. So it's like this. If your child is relatively, I'll give you an example. I have a daughter, kind of, who's 2 years old. I could give her this microphone and she'd eat it. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. So, and she'll eat and eat and eat. It's unbelievable. But you have, I have another daughter who eating is an opportunity to play food. So she'll take, the sweet potato soup and throw it around the fridge and everything. So I think it in general like this, if they can have basic respect and they eat normally, they leave some on their plate, they might get a little upset and throw their spoon, nishke ferlach, it's not so bad, you give them Shemitah food. But a child, a baby who you know is going to have an entire painting session with the wall with your food, that you shouldn't give them Shemitah food. I've heard a lot of people call me and say, I don't want to do Shemitah food because I'm scared my kids are going to go crazy. I said, what do you mean? Whatever's considered normal. So I really think halachically, as long as they're at a certain point where they can eat normally, I'm not saying that they have to sit there and eat with the etiquette and the fork, and I'm not asking for it. There should be a basic respect of the Shemitah fruit that could be eaten in a normal fashion. If there's some stuff left over, if some stuff falls on the floor, it's not the end of the world. It's not anything that's going to happen. That was regarding the idea of giving non-Jews and kids. Any questions till now, or I'll get to how to dispose Shemitah fruit? I'll be very sensitive at the beginning. If you go to somebody's house and they offer you two plates of food, Rav Kook, and this is also Mashman and other poskim, If they give you Shemitah fruit and non-Shemitah fruit, I don't want to have the Shemitah fruit, and you can eat it and it's fine and it's edible and it tastes good and you like it, that's some say it's not preferable. But I'm not sure to extend it to going to the supermarket. If you have a choice of buying, you go to a supermarket. I don't think you have to buy Shemitah fruit. You don't have to. If you go to the supermarket, but if the opportunity arises where you go to somebody's house and you want to eat and you're hungry and you explicitly don't eat, that might not be respectful to Shemitah fruit. Yes, David? Yes, that might be not respectful. I'm not sure. Yeah, there are opinions that it's not respectful. I don't want to say that, you know, like in a very firm way. There is a machloket regarding it. But I if you ask me, it's not respectful. Allah Akbar. So Shemitah can be used for all four mitzvot, all kinds of mitzvot and all four mitzvot, whether it means you can have it for Kiddush and Avdallah and you can use it for meals on Shabbos. Is there a problem with that? Arba minim, we're already past Sukkot. Arba minim. However, there are certain aspects of customs we have regarding Kiddush and Avdallah we should be careful regarding Shemitah, because there's a halachic transgression, and I'm going to get into this in a moment, to ruin or to dispose in an appropriate fashion of Shemitah fruit and Shemitah vegetables. So the issue of, you know, some people pour the Havdalah cup, they have the cup poured over. You shouldn't do that with Shemitah grape juice. You shouldn't overfill a Kiddush cup or unnecessarily have stuff lose or lost in Shemitah consumption. So since there is a halachic prohibition, la'achila v'lo lehafsed, that we cannot ruin Shemitah fruit, then this becomes a very, very common question regarding how do we run our kitchens. So it's like this. You're allowed to peel Shemitah fruit and Shemitah vegetables, even those that you don't normally peel, not that you normally peel. Some people eat cucumbers with peels, some people eat cucumbers without peels, and you could do both, it's considered both okay. What has to be done is that if the peels are edible, which I'm going to talk about peels that normal people eat, whether it be an apple peel or a cucumber peel, so you have to create a receptacle. I don't like the word pach shmita, it's not like garbage. A shmach receptacle, I have a place on my house called Sheriot Shil Kedusha. My wife made a fancy basket with the kids. He drew it and made it very nice. And that's, we have it in our kitchen, Sheriot Shil Shemitah. You put some kind of large basket with a bag, and once the leftovers what you're eating or the peels that are edible, you insert it in this receptacle. You keep it there for a good, I would say 48 hours, sometimes the less, depending on how hot it is, depending on what kind of vegetable it is, where it becomes basically completely unedible to anyone. And then you could put it in the garbage. That's true regarding leftovers on a plate and any type of edible Shemitah produce that you might have in your house, you use around, that's the way it should be disposed of. An orange peel, very good. So the Tzitzit Eliezer says that orange peels are sometimes used for candied. They candy orange peels. I'll be honest, I've seen people use orange peels in recipes. I've seen it being done. I think that it's worth it to do the orange peels as well, to put them away. And also, sometimes the orange peels have leftover stuff that we use. So I would put them away also. Some people say to put them away. If you peel certain things for your children, you can peel them even though it's not normally peeled. Like some people peel apples for kids. So even though you don't normally peel, you eat an apple whole, you can peel an apple. Yeah. No problem. So I'll take it down a notch. No problem. You're absolutely correct. So I don't think you have to. I wanted to mention the opinion. Right. That's my opinion. Yeah. Banana peels. So banana peels, nobody eats banana peels, as far as I'm knowing, as far as I know. I would, again, sometimes it's banana peel that has a little leftover piece of the banana itself. So I would, sometimes on the peel, when it gets mushy, I would cut that peel and put that in the Shemitah receptacle. But banana peels can be thrown away, nobody eats them. Same with sweet potato peels. Nobody eats, sweet potato peels, somebody's doing it. We do, right, correct.
So only the parts that are edible.
Edible, yes. Correct, yes. Right, so that was a question brought up before. There are vegetables that are kedushat shvi'it, that are holy shvi'it food, that are not svichin. They have to be grown and harvested in a certain fashion. So you can get shmita vegetables that are holy shmita fruit, holy shmita vegetables, only in a certain fashion, meaning from a certain certification or from the way you grow them in your garden. Yes. Svichin is a prohibition that our sages decreed that any vegetable that regrows or grows on its own, it's self-seeding or it's planted, becomes prohibited to eat. I recommend prohibited.
If it sprouts.
If you have the booklet, I know I'm being a little annoying. You have the booklet, there's an entire article at the end explaining svichin from beginning to end. So you can get more information about that. Yes? Oh, very good question. Can you give peels to animals? That's a general question. I want to go from the beginning. Can you feed Shemitah fruit to animals? The answer is no. edible Shemitah fruit that's edible for human beings cannot be given to animals. Well, now, if you leave Shemitah leftovers, you have a leftover tomato that's not edible, theoretically speaking, and you left it in your receptacle of Shemitah, and it becomes not edible, and nobody would eat it, you can theoretically give it to an animal, if the animal would eat it. But it has to be a situation where the food wouldn't be edible for humans at all. But food that's edible for people cannot be given to animals. I'm not sure, I was asked a question recently, and I'm not sure if I can give a halachic, proper halachic decision, is somebody said they have a dog, and they're concerned that they eat Shemitah, and they have kids, Shemitah fruit, Shemitah produce, and sometimes things fall on the floor. And the dog comes and eats it. So I really think, I'm not sure, but I think it's halachically okay. Because the Gemara says that even though you cannot give Shemitah produce to an animal, if an animal wants to come in your field and take a bite, he's absolutely allowed to do so. So I think that leftovers that unfortunately fall on the floor should have the same halachic rule. Is that okay? That's your question regarding animals? Very good. Yes. Compost. So you're not supposed to compost Shemitah fruits. Why? It's a big question. In general, the Gemara says, "Mashe hanatan ubi'uran shaveh." What, where the benefit and the destruction, is the word used in Gemara, are the same. Meaning, the use of Shemitah fruit and Shemitah produce can only be used in a situation where, when I'm consuming or when I'm using the food, the benefit and the destruction of the food happens at the same time. When I eat an apple, so I'm enjoying it and I'm eating it. But when I'm using compost, basically the compost, the real benefit of the compost happens after the food's already completely decomposed, and that's considered inappropriate. So that's the halacha regarding compost. Oh, for now, is that, so if it's no longer food, some say it's okay, but some poskim say it's still not okay because I'm still using it for inappropriate regardless, even though it's, because that's a use of to using leftovers. So in general, it's preferred not to use compost for Shemitah. No, so first of all, the Gemara says you can let it, the Gemara asks that, and says the Gemara can have animals run around and eat in the field. That's no problem. I can't initially give them the food. So you should treat it with Dushat Shemitah. If you grew it from scratch inside your house, then it doesn't have holy Shemitah. But if you bought it, I'm not sure what the situation is. So l'chom, you should treat it with Kedushat Shvit. You keep it with Shvit. I want to focus on one more aspect, and then I'm going to have a lot more times for questions. A lot more times for questions. We explained about how you dispose of. Regarding liquids, so there is an opinion in halacha that if I have soup with Kedushat Shvit, I have to take a step back. I'm sorry. Shemitah fruit and Shemitah produce becomes holy not only by consumption, but if I cook Shemitah produce with other foods, if I make a cholent with Shemitah potatoes, if I make a soup with Shemitah zucchini, if I make a dip with Shemitah tomatoes, the entire dish becomes Kedushat Shvit, which would mean that if I have a leftover piece of meat from a cholent that has Kedushat Shvit, that means that I have to dispose of the Shemitah meat, just as I would dispose from the leftovers of Shemitah vegetables and fruit. Okay? So Shemitah can be infused. What this causes, first of all, it shouldn't be so, it's a beautiful thing. You can say your cholent is not only delicious, but it's infused with Kedusha, infused with holiness. The question is how to dispose of these type of products. So some say if I leave a liquid substance that has Kedushat Shvit on all night out of the fridge, that is considered sufficient to be thrown away right away. Some want it to be a little more inedible. But in general, this thing if you have a case where you have Shemitah produce and you want to, I don't want to say get rid of it faster. So there's an important halachic rule, and I hope it comes out clear. So please correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not understood. There is a active prohibition to actively ruin Shemitah produce. Meaning I can't take a regular Shemitah, healthy, good, edible cucumber and put it in the garbage. That I can't do. But I do not have an obligation to prevent it from rotting faster. That means if I, for example, have a very full fridge and I got a delivery of a Shemitah dip and we ate it on Shabbat and it's leftover and I literally have no room in my fridge, I'm allowed to keep that out of my fridge. In maybe not in the sun, on your counter, even though it's going to rot faster. Meaning the transgression is to actively ruin, not to prevent it from ruining faster. Is that clear? That clear? So I'm saying if there's a situation where you have you don't have to actively guard it from being ruined, but you have to you can't actively destroy it. That's basically the halakha perspective. Yes. You're saying can I add non-shmita? If you're not sure, I think it's okay. What is important to mention is that I'm sure you've heard, but it's also written in my book. You should halakhically separate leftovers from day to day. I'm sure you heard this already, because the older, more ruined or spoiled leftovers can enhance the spoiling process of the other leftovers. So it's good, important to put stuff in bags. I have little bags, sandwich bags, where I put my leftovers and I separate the bags so they become separate together. That's terrific. Yes. If it becomes, it's preferable. Some say a night is enough. I think you should wait till it becomes slightly more inedible. Like really, it has some kind, I would say, it's hard to measure what a bad smell is, but it's really, nobody would eat it. That would be enough. It's also, it depends on each type of food. I always have this question regarding cholent. I make cholent very often, and sometimes I leave my cholent pot out to wash it Motzei Shabbos. So I think that, sometimes if the leftovers in the pot become so dry and icky, nobody's going to touch it anyways, then might be able to be thrown away right away. Because that's considered already disgusting. Nobody's going to eat it anyways. So you shouldn't put soap on Shemitah leftovers initially, because that's a speedy way of, any kind of chemical would speed up the decomposition or make it more disgusting and inedible. So that you shouldn't do. However, if you have leftovers of Shemitah, this is important. If you have a little bit of gravy or some dried food on a pot or on a pan or on a container, also not such of an issue. That can be washed off, no problem. You don't have to scrape off every Shabbos, every leftover piece on the bottom of your pan and put it in your Shemitah receptacle, because that's already considered as if it's not edible. What we really are discussing is stuff that's actually edible: leftover soup, leftover vegetables, leftover fruit, leftover dips, and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's considered already, it's kilu avud. It's kilu already completely exempt and has no Shemitah quality. I want to explain one more thing, and we can go into many more questions. I have lots of time. I think I have lots of time. I wanted to discuss mixtures. So normally in halacha, we have a halacha regarding the mixtures of food, right? If I have something non-kosher getting mixed with something that's kosher, there are all kinds of laws of nullification, 60 times more, a majority. Regarding Shemitah fruit, what happens if I buy Shemitah fruit and I buy non-Shemitah fruit, and by accident an apple of Shemitah gets mixed up with 15 apples that are not Shemitah? So there's a special halacha. There's a chumra nekula in Hilchot Shemitah, and I'll tell you right now. A leniency and a stringency. Because all the fruit or all the vegetables can be eaten with Kedushat Shvit, there's no nullification. That means if you have a tree, for example, where you have one Shemitah fruit and you don't know which fruit it is, and then you have 100 lemons, right? You have one lemon that's Shemitah and 100 lemons that aren't Shemitah. All the lemons you treat like Shemitah, because you can eat it in Shemitah in a kosher fashion. The Rambam says there's no nullification. However, and this is an important thing to mention, Shemitah kalim. I mentioned before that Shemitah food, when it's cooked with other foods, can infuse the other foods with holiness. Now we have, I'm sure everybody here has milk and meat dishes, and milk and meat pots, and Pesach pots, so you don't need a Shemitah pot. That means if I were to cook, let me give an example. This is very important. If I cook my soup for Shabbos in a pot, listen carefully, I empty that pot and I put it in a container, I put it in the freezer. I can cook another soup that's not Shemitah, and there's no Shemitah. So three situations, it's very clear. Mixtures were very machmir. Any mixture of Shemitah makes the entire thing Shemitah. Anything, flavor is only infused when it's actual cooked food, but there's no such thing as Shemitah pots. That means if I cook a pot, I don't have to wait 24 hours, I don't have to kosher it again. If I cook Shemitah, if I make cholent for Friday night, I use a stew, and I make Shemitah with Shemitah products, and then I take it out and wash it, I put in the next dish, and the next dish has nothing to do with Shemitah. Is that clear? Very good. Yes. Exactly. There's no kedusha in time.
But I want to ask if the 48 hours, is it the kedusha somehow?
So the explanation is that once there's no kedusha in flavor, it's already lost its status. But if I cook food together, so it's called mamashut. I actually have food. I'm making a dip. So that no kedusha in them. No, that's actual food and that's flavor. They're both not kedusha. You're talking about in terms of the food that's not edible, or the
peel,
yeah, there's no kedusha to eat. Yes. Yes. Very good question. Because that's the one that's not it's a good question. I don't remember why, but it's accepted upon the poskim that you could throw away the water because that's what you really throw away. Like if you cook potatoes in a pot, you can throw away even it's holy shmita potatoes, you can throw away the water. Yes. Salad's a good question. I wanted to add, she's saying salad, there's no flavor, it's not cooked. So it's enough of a suffix, right? Because I had this question this week. My wife made a pasta dish, God bless her, with shmita peppers and tomatoes. So the pasta, she added, it's a cold pasta. You know what I'm saying? You know the dish? I'm not a cook. She added vegetables to a pasta dish. So I wasn't sure if it was there for too long and there was spicy foods. So any situation where there's actually a food, I don't want to start saying, well, is it harif? Is it not harif? Is it sharp? Is it this? Any food that has shmita and non-shmita, whether it be a salad or a dish or a soup or a stew, I would treat the leftovers as if they're shmita, just to be on the safe side. Because you're going to start saying, well, I only put in one shmita pepper and it didn't really touch the other side of the lettuce. Don't play games. Keep it safe. Yeah, I'm sorry. You had a question, the vine. I'm sorry. So if you want to use a liquid for something, that's something else. If you don't plan on using it, this question arises with Shemitah corn. I'll tell you why. Because when I was in the army, the tastiest thing is that we used to drink the water from the corn. No, it was really good. Like you want it to taste sweet, that's what you drink. So I was wondering if normally people throw it away, right? You know what I'm talking about? The corn, the sweet corn with the drink inside. So my son loves to drink it. Like he won't drink Coke, he'll drink this, the leftover corn water. So it depends if you want to use it. Since the water for potatoes is already, nobody eats it. It's nefsad. It's not usable. Nobody uses it. It's not edible. Nobody's going to use it again. So you can throw it away. But if there's something where you might use it, like a broccoli liquid, or I'm saying if you're really weird like me and you have the corn water at the bottom that you drink, then you should treat it with kedushat shvit. It's judged by the use of the food or not. If they're grown in a closed, it's a whole other shear. If they're grown in a closed environment, then they have no laws of Shemitah. So if they're going under a roof or under a building, there's no laws of Shemitah. It's unique. Hydroponics and stuff in the house and greenhouses, you can call me and give you a whole shear. I don't think there's a little bit in the book, but it's a very, very complicated subject. Yes. And you want to use the water to water the plant. Preferably not. I would also say that you're allowed to use, this is also obvious, but I didn't mention this, you can use vinegar or soap to wash vegetables, even though, you know, it might be, that's how you way to clean them. But I'm not sure you should use it, because that's not a way you should use kedushat shvi'it. So it's a good question. Second question. It didn't say at Osharad? I hear they're very organized. That's why people are going there. Oh, another restaurant. Osharad does. It's a very tough question. It's a very tough question. In general, I would recommend you speak to a mashkiach. You know, all the time, I'll give you an example. Can I give another example from Shemitah?
Yeah.
People always ask me about flowers on Shemitah. It's a big thing about flowers on Shemitah. It's also in the book. Now, halachically, somebody who desecrates Shemitah and does not treat, and there's a unique halacha regarding Shemitah as opposed, in general, but especially regarding Shemitah as opposed to other halachot, that there's a real issue supporting and financially helping or even working with on the field somebody who does not keep Shemitah. The Mishnah says you can't even give a rake to somebody who doesn't keep Shemitah because they use the rake to plow the land. So when people want to buy flowers, even though there might be halachic reasons to buy it, if this person is purchasing flower pots and he's planting his flowers in his nursery outside on Shemitah, or in an inappropriate fashion, you shouldn't buy flowers from them. So people call me and say, but he said he's fine, everything's okay, right? You know the story about there's a joke about a shawarma shop, that a guy comes to a shawarma shop, you know, the stand with the shawarmas, and he says, where's your Tudat Kashrut, where's your certification? So there's a picture of the Baba Saleh behind me. So the guy said, if the Baba Sali was giving the shawarma and you were in the picture, I would eat it. But since the Baba Sali's in the picture, I want to see her do that kashrut. No, I'm saying it's a question of belief, and they don't know, they do know, they're going to tell you the truth, they're not sure, they think it's shmita, they're not sure it's shmita. You should speak to a competent halachic representative of kosher to tell you what the situation is. Simple as that. Yeah. No, so that even flowers with no scent you can buy, but if the people planted on Shemitah, you're supporting someone who you shouldn't plant on Shemitah, even flowers. It's in the book. So I'm saying you can. They might not be Isser Svichin, and they might not have Kedushat Shvit, but if somebody is making a business out of planting flowers on Shemitah, that's not appropriate halakha to support such an establishment. Understand? Well, I'm saying I have a flower. There's a guy near where I live. I'm a rabbi in a certain area. So there's a person who sells flowers. And we spoke to him. He has to bring some kind of certification. We have to speak to the nursery where he buys from. Today, it's not uncommon to find nurseries and flower shops with Shemitah certification. It's a real halachic issue. Just like you wouldn't buy somebody who, if somebody, you know, has a restaurant where they cook food on Shabbos, right? A Jewish person, right? Might be kosher, but you wouldn't buy from them, right? You understand? So it's the same thing. It's sensitive regarding Shemitah. You have to be very, very, very careful. It's important, that aspect. Yes?
What about
eating out? Eating out on Shemitah. It's a whole other shir. I'm sorry. It's a whole other shir. I'm sorry. I'll be here until 12:30. Questions regarding Tushat Shvi'in? I'm going to do a quick summary. I want to take up Rabbi Bloom's. Yes?
When I make meat, I ration.
Oh, you're tough. That's a tough one. You don't eat the greens?
No, I
you wrap the meat in kusbara and parsley, and then you take, but do you eat the rasli and parsley? You eat it with?
Peel the layer off.
Is it edible parsley? I'm sure it's edible, right? I would put in the shmitah bin. Lieter be the is good question. I gotta try that. Pardon? Yes. How do I know that? You know, there are parsley that's made in Olam Mitzrayim that's growing on the ground, and even if it's there, Rav Bloom will tell you when he comes in, there are parsley that has kedushat shvit. Does exist. Yes?
Rosemary grows outside in a pot.
Outside in a pot. It has kedushat shvit. Yes. Anybody else? Please don't be shy. Did I forget somebody? Yeah. You can ask the off the others. Yes? I think it's, again, if somebody goes and uses, I'm saying as from Jews, you're going to go and support somebody who literally plants on Shemitah to sell it to you. It's not. I know. It's an issue. It's in the book. I know. I mean, yeah, you could ask them where, if it comes from an indoor nursery where it's grown indoors in pots that are sealed. But it's complicated. Just like I would, if somebody sold you meat. I'm saying, somebody sold you meat on the road, right? It's kosher, right? You have no siman. It looks like nothing. No tuda. You'd ask a question. Just like you associate going to a butchery on a regular day, you should associate buying flowers on Shemitah. I hope I'm not being too crazy. Yeah, very quick. Two questions I really want to summarize.
I think it's disgusting
that water the water that you use for potatoes, you're not going to use for anything else anyways. But what the woman behind you was asking was that she normally likes to use it to water her plants. So because she's allocating the water for a new use, then that would make the thing an issue. Very, very quickly, we discussed the mitzvah of eating Tushat Shvit. There's not a mitzvah respecting Tushat Shvit. We discussed the 14 drashot of Chazal, non-Jews, children. Give it to children. How to give it to children? We talked about how you should dispose of dushat shvit. We spoke about using it in the normal fashion: fruits, vegetables, cooking, soups. Using it for medicines was an issue. We spoke about where you meet dushat shvit was hetem mechira, gardens, trumat amasron and dushat shvit. We also mentioned using it for mitzvahs, kiddush, havdalah, you shouldn't pour it on over the cup, you shouldn't overflow it. Giving to animals, we also spoke about. And the three important laws, I think you'll probably remember this very well, is that kedushat shvit can be infused into other foods, but there's no laws regarding a kalim, so there's no thing as a shemitah kli, and mixtures were very, very machmir. I know it's a large subject, I'm sorry if I spoke a little too fast, but please feel free to reach out to me, and you can speak to me also after the shiur for a couple minutes, or I'm on the third floor every week, at least twice a week. You can ask anybody here at the OU Center to contact me. Enjoy the books, and Bezrat Hashem Shemitah should be fun. It's holy Shemitah, holy fruit, holy produce, and Bezrat Hashem, we should be zoche to a Shemitah v'Shabbat Ha'aretz.